And to be good host children, we decided to have all of our host families over for dinner. However, we didn't know how to cook anything. We didn't know how to use the oven.
At one point, I joined the Sikh temple because they had a casino.
What do you do when you run away? And the first thing that came to my mind was to run away and join a circus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Hankin.
And today on the podcast, seemed like a good idea at the time, three stories about young people who make decisions that seem smart but are not.
This first storyteller shared this story at a Stoop we did a million years ago in a part of town called Station North at a now defunct, wonderful venue called the Wind Up Space. Her name is Natalie Neal, and she's sharing a tale of just being, you know, that American. Take a listen.
Okay, my story is about an accident that happened because I was under some stress, I think, which is when a lot of accidents happen. I was in Brazil, and I had just moved out of my host family's house and into my own apartment with my girlfriend and another couple that we were friends with. And to be good host children, we decided to have all of our host families over for dinner. However, we didn't know how to cook anything. We didn't know how to use the oven. We didn't know how to do anything, really. Could only understand like every fifth word they said. So the night came, and something we were making involved lettuce, but we didn't have a lettuce spinner, and we didn't have any paper towels. We may not have had any towels. So it was basically a few minutes before they were supposed to arrive, and all of the lettuce was like wet and gross, and I was freaking out. So at some point we decided I should try to dry the lettuce with like a fan, like that was in my friend's bedroom. This is really hot. So I'm there, I'm like drying the lettuce piece by piece, and the doorbell rings because they're here. And at that same moment, my friend walks into the doorway and is like, Natalie. And I look over, and somehow I, like, the movement had knocked the fan off of the stand it was on. And it was like a plastic fan with, like, the cage and the plastic blades. And however it landed, it was, like, breaking. It was just making a terrible sound. Like, that was not a problem, but it kind of sounded like a problem. And I had turned, and my panic and fear, I just thought something terrible was happening. So I immediately reached as fast as I could back to fix the problem and stuck my hand through the cage into the fan. And I screamed. My roommate screamed. I looked down and saw the blood on her foot, and then we both screamed again. The lettuce fell. It was terrible. Like, I don't know. And then our host families were there. I couldn't explain this to them. I could explain almost nothing to them. So we frantically wrapped my finger. It was, like, pulsing. I thought I might just, like, pass out. But we had to have dinner, so we just went to dinner. I sort of forgot about it. Went to sleep. Had to go to my, like, job the next morning. And I woke up, went to take a shower, went in the bathroom, locked the door, took off all my clothes, realized I was passing out because of my finger bleeding, managed to unlock the door, and then woke up on my bed completely naked, my girlfriend, my roommate, my roommate's boyfriend, and our program director, who's like a 40-year-old Brazilian man. And I was like, it's a terrible accident.
Well done. Yeah, she's being that American who tries to dry wet lettuce with a fan because, you know, that's very American. No, I just love the panic of like, oh, my gosh, we have wet lettuce and our host families are coming and we want to be so grown up and show them how like functional we are. So let's get out the fan and dry our lettuce. Oh, shoot. Put my hand. Yeah, that was.
Oh, but when she described the cut of her, I was like, oh, God, that sounds so painful. Like, yeah. Just, yeah. It's no wonder that she passed out naked on the bed.
Yeah. So this next story, Patrick Horner, did you know there was all this illicit gambling going on in Prince George's County? Makes me want to look into it. I'm sure it's not still the case. But again, this is like a great story of a kid, well, a guy who was a kind of a kid at the time, just like doing what he thought was right. And it just really was not. So take a listen.
When I was a young man, when I was going to college in my 20s, back in the 90s when everything was fresh and exciting, I had a job, and that job was to deal blackjack at a semi-not-legal casino in Prince George's County. I have to explain that. In Prince George's County, it was legal to operate a casino if the proceeds went to charity and everyone was a volunteer. What in fact happens is the proceed goes to whoever organized the charity, and the dealers were paid cash under the table. Great job for a 19-year-old who doesn't know how to live his life. Speaking of not knowing how to live my life, I had this habit before I had this great emotional control that I have now, this serene being that I am, when I was in my early 20s, that I tended to say things that came out of my brain before I had time to edit them. And so I often lost these semi-legal jobs, illegal jobs. And so I'd move from one operation to another, to another, to another, because I could still deal cards. You know, it's not that hard. I can count to 21. And so I would end up, you know, working with people for about 6 months and then telling someone to do something with themselves that usually requires someone else. And then I'd have to go to another job. But it was, you know, since there are no reference checks for an illegal job, it's like you just keep moving around. And so basically, I'm not kidding you. There were like 30 operations in Prince George's County that were doing it. It was just like, what are you talking about, illegal crime organizations? At one point, I joined the Sikh Temple because they had a casino. And so for a year, I spent part of my college life, I was a Sikh. I mean, I got the bracelet and the little knife. I didn't wear the turban, and I did shave. But other than that, and I mean no disrespect to Sikhs, but it was just sort of weird that, you know, a dumb kid from Carroll County is pretending to be a Sikh to get paid $22 an hour under the table. But that's not the story. The story I want to tell you is that this is a story about an accident that didn't happen. So, like I said earlier, I'm going from job to job to job to job. There are no reference checks, so every time I go there, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really competent. I'm really calm. I can deal with customers. And I'm like, go fuck yourself. And then I'd lose that job. So I sort of went back to where I started. Like, I'd done the loop, and I'm back to where I started. And I'll tell you what, when you're 19, 20, and 21, and you're getting paid $22 an hour in cash, you think you own the frickin' world. And so, like, I couldn't give the job up because, like, my other option was to cut sandwiches for $6 an hour at the frickin' sandwich shop. So the long story short, I come back to the first casino I ever worked at. And I'm like, you know, I'm a changed man. I've learned a lot from him. And they're like, okay, you know. I spoke to someone, a pit boss, and he's like, well, come and meet the owners and talk to them about it, and maybe we'll take you back. And so they're having a big meeting because we have to talk about how we're going to organize our illegal activities in such a way that it passes. And I kid you not, the Prince George's County government used the Department of Natural Resources to regulate the casino, the Department of Natural Resources to regulate the casino system. And so we had to outsmart people who were like used to looking for raccoons and cleaning up rivers. So the bar wasn't high and we cleared it. But anyway, so we go to this big general meeting. We're talking about how we're going to move the cash around from place A to place B in such a way that the regulator who comes in for like 15 minutes looks around, fills out a sheet, and leaves. So, you know, when he comes in, we all know what our roles are about the money and where it's going. Because in the back, there's a counting room where we count the cash and we give everyone, everyone gets an envelope at the end of the night. But, okay, I've gone too far. So we go back. Okay, thank you. So I go back to this first place where I ever worked, and we're going to this meeting, and I haven't seen these people in about 2.5 years, and I go into the room, and everyone just turns around and looks at me, and everyone goes white. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I did tell you specifically to go fuck yourself, but seriously, what? And then finally someone walks across, because it's a big room, they walk across the room slowly, and they're like, we heard you died in a motorcycle accident. And it's like, I didn't. And so to wrap this up, I didn't die in a motorcycle accident, and I had to spend the next 20 minutes convincing people that I am not dead. So that's the end of the story.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing that was not right was...
He was always telling people, like, to go F themselves.
Yeah, right, and that he... But and then he repeatedly just would get... There were so many different underground casinos that he just constantly had work. That's
amazing. I never thought about the fact that when you're applying for an illegal job, you don't need a resume and recommendations. So that was good to learn. I felt it was a life lesson. Before we get to our next story, we're going to take a quick break. So this next storyteller, Rachel Ann Warren, is such a lovely, wonderful, smart, free soul. I really love her. And so let's play her story and then we'll talk about what she does now because
it's very different.
Yeah.
When I was 19 years old, I ran away to join a circus. And the first thing that people always ask me when I tell them this is, so what did you do in the circus? And I'm always sort of like backing away from the conversation at that point because the answer is not very much. Because by the time I got there, it was the off season. So I'm going to back up a little bit. I had been studying music at Catholic University of America. And I'll back up even further and say that when I was a little girl, I had this idea that adult life was going to be this magical, free place where I could make my own decisions and be the woman that the storybooks and the movies that I loved so much told me that I could be. So going to college was kind of like not at all anywhere close to the amount of freedom that I was looking for. So I was working a bunch of part-time jobs and I was going to school trying to make it work. And instead of going to bed one night, I hit my head on the wall on my way to bed and got a concussion. And just like in the cartoons, you know, like bluebirds flew around my head. And when I woke up, I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to run away. And the thought process was truly this simple. What do you do when you run away? And the first thing that came to my mind was to run away and join a circus. So I just got on the internet. That was kind of a new thing at the time. And I started looking for circus jobs, and I quickly found out that anything legitimate was going to require 2 years of clown school, and I was like, no school, no thank you, no. So then I turned to the street theater circuit, and I wrote to dozens of these circuses. And I finally heard back after a couple of months of just tireless effort from one woman. Her name was Desmond Daisy, and she just said, sure, you can join us. And that was all she said, and that was all I needed. So then I told everybody, you know, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going to go cross country. I'm going to join the circus. I'll see you guys later. So this is when sort of like the story takes a little turn. Along the way, before I even get on Route 70 heading west, I get knocked up by my boss. I have an abortion. I realize it's going to cost money, so I work a bunch of part-time jobs 7 days a week to try to make this happen. I save somewhere around $700, and I think that's going to be, like, plenty to get me there and settled and, you know, become one of these people. I should say, like, at no point, even at this moment, do I ever think to myself, like, what am I going to do in the circus? Like, the thought doesn't ever cross my mind. I find myself in Denver. I see mountains for the first time. I get distracted for a few weeks. I go to Vegas. I fall in love with this charming traveling Englishman. We proceed to like visit various landmarks. And I experience the world in a way that, you know, I had been waiting for my whole life. So by the time I get to San Francisco and I'm looking at myself in the hostel bathroom mirror, and I am thinking to myself, like, oh, like, what have I done? And I think I should have been born missing a finger, because if something like that had happened, then the circus would be like, we'll find something for you to do. But as it was, I was just a fairly normal looking person who wasn't showing, much of my personal journey, in the way I looked, but I could sing and I could sew. So I figured that would get me, pretty far or somewhere with them. So by the time I meet Desmond, Daisy, and I see what the circus really is, which is a pile of books under a circus tent in a parking lot in the Mission District, which is this fair that they have about once a month, I realize almost immediately that the circus life, at least this circus life, is not for me. And, of course, that's like the worst realization that a 19-year-old can have after you've, told everyone in your life that you're going to go do this like amazing thing. So I guess what I learned, so I did stay on for a little while. There wasn't much happening, but I wanted to say that I did it. And I found that the most important thing I learned about this is that I said I was going to do something. And even if it was a beautiful, horrifying mess of a failure, I still did it, and I'm happy to say that I'm still the kind of person who, goes, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And I'm also happy to say that I think I finally understand that freedom may not always be, this gorgeous, immaculate, ideal life that you imagine it'll be. It can be really hard and really tough and really disappointing, but it's, what would life be without the choice to completely screw up every once in a while? So I hope you all go home and think about running away to join the circus, even in the off season.
When I listen to a story like that and I hear somebody say, I wanted to be free, so I decided to join the circus, and they go and do it, I literally, my mouth waters. I wish I could be a person who is that uncautious.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm less cautious now than I was in my 20s, but I was not doing. I would overthink that shit to death.
Yeah.
I would never do that. And yeah. I love hearing stories of people who do that stuff.
Yeah, it's very inspiring.
Even though, as it turns out, joining a circus that is in a parking lot and when you have no skills is, didn't turn out like the dream of freedom that she wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that I know actually Rachel and then two other individuals who also joined circuses, and it turned out to be a really just Yuck. Like depressing experience.
Yeah. So anybody who is thinking about, as she mentions, cutting off a finger or two because that would help you in a circus. I don't know if that's still true. Anyway.
Well, it would help you if you were thinking of joining the Yakuza.
Oh, right.
Did you know that?
Because that shows that you've...
Well, it actually is not a good thing. It shows that you have been so dedicated to your Gumo, your Yakuza clan, that when you did something wrong, you either got the finger cut off or you took it off yourself.
Yeah.
That's just acknowledging I did something. Anyway.
Badass. We don't recommend either of those things. But catching up with Rachel Ann Moran, she owns a shop in downtown Frederick, Maryland, where she sells handmade wigs. And she makes these amazing, beautiful wigs. She's on Facebook. So check her out. I always love just seeing what she's up to. And so it wasn't the circus, but she has found a calling for sure.
Thank you so much for taking a listen to this installment of the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. We want to thank Maureen Harvey for being our incredibly patient producer.
And not having run away to join the circus, but instead staying to do our podcast.
Well, one could make the argument that a local NPR affiliate is its own version of a circus.
Yes, one could.
All right, I'll see you next time.